Welcome to the Solution Focused Schools Unlimited podcast series. My name is Dr. Linda Metcalf, and I'm the author of Counseling Towards Solutions, the first book published in 1995 that took the solution-focused approach into classrooms all around the world. Now in its third printing, you can purchase the book by going to Routledge.com. This is a special edition of the podcast in that today we're going to talk about school shootings. A few weeks ago, the 29th school shooting of 2021 occurred. And I have to admit to you all that when this happens, I'd simply find myself sitting and thinking and thinking and focusing only about the beautiful lives that were lost. I think of the teachers left in the hallway wondering what to do, the other students who leave the school anxious to see their parents and feel safe. I think of the students who were walking the hallways innocently. Maybe some of them were soccer players, cheerleaders, science nerds, kids who sat in the back of the classroom and just enjoyed school or just tolerated school, but then were just walking down the hallway or sitting in a classroom and they were dead. I also think, and I sit and focus on the tragedy of the students who were so lost in their lives that they thought picking up a gun was the only answer they had. Maybe we were just too busy thinking of the next lesson plan or trying to quieten some kids in our class that we didn't notice that student who said very little. Maybe once in a while they said something disrespectfully, and maybe some of us took it personally and pushed it away and thought to ourselves, well, I've got other things, other kids to tend to. I guess I can't reach him or her. I just don't have the time. And when the teacher saw that student again and again, the student could usually feel the distance even more. Maybe mental health issues were causing some issues in his or her life, but somehow nothing else seemed to matter and no one seemed to care. To an already upset student dealing with possible mental health issues, I believe sometimes it's the last straw that drives them to do such violent things. And it also makes me think about all the things that maybe we might try to do so that maybe that does not continue to be the only decision some of our troubled students make. I think, too, about all the efforts, especially the social-emotional learning curriculum that seems to be buzzing around everywhere. It is a fantastic idea. It really is. But everyone, here's something I want you to think about as you listen to this podcast. We need to think about social-emotional learning in a very different way. We'll talk about that next. You know, there's an old saying that I've heard a lot in my life, and the saying goes like this: values are not taught, they are caught. When our kids were growing up, and we have three kids, they're now all grown up, I thought a lot about how I was reared, and my husband thought about how he was reared, and we wanted together to give our children a little bit more independence in thinking. We gave them guidance, sure, and consequences, sure, when we needed to, but more than anything, we wanted them to know they could tell us absolutely anything, and we would listen and always be there for them. We had goals as parents. We wanted to do whatever we had to do to have healthy, happy kids grow into healthy, happy adults with good ethics and morals, kindness towards others, and sensibility in making decisions. Luckily, I was going to grad school at that time, and when I learned the solution-focused approach, I thought, wow, this is not only great for school and clinics, but it's also great for parenting. And so I learned very quickly and shared it with my husband, the importance of us letting our kids know what we expected, but also letting them know that we believed that they could figure things out. And we got into the habit of when they would come and tell us about something going on, as long as they were not in danger or someone else was not in danger, we would find ourselves saying, so what do you think needs to happen? What do you think you might need to do? And luckily, that seemed to make a difference in that they began to see that, number one, we believed in them, and they would go off a lot of times and do things that made sense to them. I wasn't very good at telling someone how to keep a boyfriend or keep a girlfriend, but they figured it out. And if it didn't work out, they found out what to do next time. It seemed to be a better idea. So why do I bring up my kids in this podcast about school shootings? Because we're talking about, again, that phrase, values are not taught, they're caught. Social emotional learning is a marvelous, marvelous curriculum out there right now. I totally agree with it. But everyone, I've got to tell you, I don't think it could just be a lesson plan. Social emotional learning can be caught by students. Every time a teacher acknowledges their presence, sees maybe that they're a little off track or out of sorts, not participating in class, not being as respectful as they need, and the teacher walks over and says something very, very simple, such as, wow, let's step out in the hall for a second. And when they're in the hall, the teacher says, you know, looks like things are a little bit tough for you this morning. I care about you. You're a person in my classroom. You matter to me. What can we do when we go back into the classroom so that things go better for both of us? It matters to me as your teacher. Boy, talk about rising above and sending a message about the importance of caring for another person, even when that person isn't acting perfectly. That scenario does it and knocks it right out of the park. How does this pertain to those students who have shot others 29 times this year? I just have to wonder. And believe me, everyone, I wonder a lot about this subject. How we might could have done something differently. Not that we caused anything. Please don't misunderstand. We didn't cause another kid to pick up a gun and shoot someone. But I just have to wonder. By thinking systemically, which means everyone in a school has input into every person who walks the hallway, what could we maybe have done differently to notice that child or that student in the back of the room who just didn't seem to have things together? What if we thought maybe it wasn't disrespect, maybe there was something else going on, and not take it personally? Maybe there's something in regard to mental health going on that we might need to pay attention to. What if our values could be caught by them in regard to them believing that they matter and that maybe there are other ideas on how to solve problems? What if we began to show them in our actions in so many ways? We'll talk about those ways in just a second. So those of you who have listened to my podcast know that I rarely go on like I am today without giving ideas. And those ideas are all going to be with a solution-focused mindset, which I really, really embrace in my life in almost every aspect. So here goes. What if those we notice with low grades, low morale, those who were loners, who did not seem to care, were asked just by a teacher who noticed these things to join a team or a club or a project for a few weeks? And even if the student was a little bit put out by it or thought that was kind of a lame thing to do, you persevered. Said, no, look at the way you draw. I think you'd be amazing in the theater production we're doing in a few weeks. Come on, why don't you just try it out? I'm going there in 20 minutes. Go with me. Walk with me. You don't give up. What if the kid who's referred to often to the office and whose parents don't have time to talk to the principal? They're working too hard. They're just not available. What if those kids could hear the administrator talk about the problem, sure, that they were referred on, and the administrator has to follow policy, sure. But after that's done, the administrator turns to the student and says, okay, now let's talk about how we can avoid this in the future. Let's go for a walk and talk a little bit. And as they walk outside, possibly, or they're around the gym or into the cafeteria, the administrator opens the door to a conversation that's different. No longer are they administrator and student. They are human to human, talking for a minute in a way that maybe the student had never realized could happen. Maybe the administrator talks about what it was like for him or her growing up and how times were tough then, and they figured things out eventually. They begin to be a human being. They open up the boundaries. They let the student in. And after that, the administrator says, okay, I shared a little bit about me. Let's see if we can figure out together what you can do to stay out of trouble and do something much, much better for yourself just for a day or two. Let's think about it. You go first. And in that conversation, after a few more steps, the administrator looks at the student, says, okay, you know what? I think you got a good idea. I look forward to seeing how you do it. I'm checking back on you tomorrow. Is that okay with you if I come by and just say hi? How different would a conversation like that be? It would probably take the most 15 minutes, which I know if you're a principal listening or you're a school counselor and you're thinking, oh, my principal would never do that. But here's the thing, everyone. That kind of conversation, that kind of engagement is probably going to result in one less student in his office or her office, because the change that it could make is huge. I know, because I've done this in schools. Let's take it another step. You know, when I look over the safety plans, I did that too a lot over the past few weeks, just to see what are schools doing out there to help our students in the aftermath of a school shooting. And I saw so many plans. Lots of plans that focus on the team selection, the team protocol, the reporting, the profiling, and very, very little on what to do with students who were struggling before it happens. Yep, I think that the key to ending school violence is all in our court, the adult court. I've often said to adults who hear me talk about things like this, and they wonder, well, what about the students? Sure. But most of us, everyone, are at least 2 to 3 times in experience level in the world than our kids in the schools. So it's kind of going to be up to us to do some things differently. And hey, I'm not going to put you in that court all by yourself. I'm going to be along with you as I do the things that I do with SF Connection and all the things I try to get out. We are not alone in this. I am thinking about this more than I can share with you. I want to end this podcast with a story. And it is one of the most remarkable stories I've ever heard. And it came from a principal. Staff member of this principal told me about it. It's going to come up next. The principal was a principal of a middle school, and it was midterm. And it was faculty meeting before they got started again in January. So he wanted to do something to ignite the interest of the faculty, who was kind of dreading those 4 months coming up until the end of the school year. And so he passed out rosters of all of the students in their grade levels to each table in the professional development room, where every grade level was seating together at the same table. So he gave all the rosters to them, and he said, okay, I want you all to look at all the rosters that are at your table and check off the names of the students that you know fairly well on that list. And he gave them about 10 minutes to go through the list, quite a few students. And when they were finished, he called them back to attention and he said, okay, I have one thing that I want you to do with these rosters now. Look again at the rosters and look at the checks by the names that you have just done. Now I want you to look at the names of the students who have no checks. Those are the students I want you to concentrate on meeting and getting to know this semester. Before we meet again, I want each of you to choose several students that have not been checked off and get to know those students. What a remarkable faculty exercise to do. What a message to send. A lot of times, what I've noticed is that some of the kids who are involved in school shootings might not have been very well known for lots of reasons. No one really was to blame that they weren't known, but what we're talking about in this podcast today is taking another look at ending school shootings. Possibly there are kids in your classroom that you may see this week, next week, that you don't know very well. In closing, I'd like for you to think about talking to those students you don't know too well. Finding out who they are. What do they like doing? Find one tiny, tiny thing they do okay or well at in your class. Mention it. Write a note to their parent saying, Jose did an amazing job today on his spelling. Marjorie answered a question I asked today with such enthusiasm, I was so excited. Jonathan helped out a friend today in class, and he did so in a way that was impressive. Send those notes home. I promise you, there are lots of things that get lost, it seems, between the school building and the bus or the home, but those notes don't get lost. It's about going out of your way a little bit. And don't stop until you get the attention of a student you don't know. Again, it may be hard. They may even resist. Do not give up. Their lives and yours and your students may just depend on it. May the Solution Force be with you.